have experienced an angelic manifestation. Some of us are afraid to discuss those situations because it kind of becomes one of those things that's, you know, it's the creepy crawly things of Christ to some people. You know, we shy away from it because that puts us in the snake handler, squirrel chaser type of category. We'll keep them to our Christmas programs, you know, dressed up with the wings and the white robe and declaring to the shepherds that are up on the platform that Christ is born. We'll keep them in the Easter program sitting next to the tomb. But when you begin to look in the Word of God with regard to angels, the Lord began to impress upon me in prayer on Thursday morning the verse in Psalm 91, where the psalmist David said there that he would give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all of thy ways. You know, people in Christianity have started to, or have over time, loosely used the term guardian angel. You know, I have a guardian angel. Someone said to me one night, sitting up here, that their angel disappeared. They had an angel. They saw their angel, and their angel disappeared. I don't know if that's, you know, if that was imagination or what it was, but this person, in all sincerity, was explaining to me that they felt like they had a guardian angel, and that guardian angel was gone from them, or whatever the situation was. But people have used that term, and it's become something that's almost. It's almost blown over. It's almost just passed over. And the Apostolic Church, I don't know. We don't talk about this a lot. We don't broadcast it. We don't teach a lot about it. But the Scripture explicitly says and states that there are angels, and they're, for a lack of better terms, on His staff. Him being Christ Jesus, they're on His staff. And they are dispatched at His beckoning. And at His beckoning, according to the Scripture, they are put in charge. Everybody say in charge. They are put in charge over me to keep me in all of my ways. You see, the term that I previously used, this term guardian angel, implies that I have an angel who's protecting me or guarding me when I'm doing a daredevil act, or I'm looking or needing some protection, or I'm out of control, or whatever the situation may be when I need protection, and that's when I need my angel. But he didn't say that he, and I read this through like 30 or 40 different translations. It nowhere says that he puts an angel about you to protect you when it's not safe. He said that this particular charge that he puts on angels over you is to keep you in everything that you do. Now, this is interesting. If Brother Kendrick would throw Matthew 4 up, this is the third time. This is no coincidence. This is the third time in as many gatherings here. Well, I guess this is the third time in fourth gatherings because I wasn't here on Wednesday night. So this is the third time in four gatherings in this room. Or in another, I take that back. It's four for me because we talked about this verse in Union Gap. I'm sorry that I'm getting old and forgetful. We talked about the scripture passage in Union Gap. Brother Heiner talked about it on Wednesday night 2 weeks ago. I talked about it Friday night on the east side. Brother Berglund came in last Sunday and talked about it. Brother Eli talked about something else. And then here we are today. You missed it. I'm just kidding. He knows I'm kidding. I tell you, last Sunday, I didn't say this last Sunday, but my ears were perked up when Brother Berglund started going down that road. Because you were here the Wednesday night before that, were you? So he had no idea that Brother Heiner had talked about those things. When something begins to happen like that, my spiritual senses, what did I miss the first time? What did I miss on round two? And then in the prayer room earlier, when I begin to allow the Lord to talk to me and lead me into more scripture regarding Psalm 91, I was led again to Matthew chapter 4. Verse 1, the scripture says there, then Jesus, in case we didn't remember, was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written. What is written? He shall give his angels charge concerning thee. The tempter in the wilderness goes back and references the writing of the psalmist. Old Testament scrolls. And says, cast yourself down. Throw yourself off the cliff. It's written. It's written. It's been put in stone that he will give his angels charge concerning thee. Now, for fear of somebody misrepresenting something in Scripture, I don't believe that I just have these angels that are swooping around me, ready to sweep in and spare me from every pitfall in life. I don't believe that. When I go on and I read throughout the rest of the Gospels and I understand Jesus regarding talking to his disciples regarding prayer and saying, when you pray, pray our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I read other scripture that leads me to understand that the things that I bind on earth are also bound in heaven. And things that I loose on earth are also loosed in heaven. I begin with all of these things. And if I move too fast, somebody throw your hands up and say, stop, you've lost me. But you start to see this scriptural-based case being made for a lifestyle of one yielding themselves to the leading of the Holy Ghost. And in that process of me in my prayer, when I pray, saying, Father, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven, I am giving place and giving way for him to place his angels in charge over me. I can tell you don't believe me. This is the book. It was so important. The enemy knows about this. You and I ignore. We act like it doesn't exist. We act like they're fairy tales and ghosts on Halloween and dress up like them on Christmas and Easter. The enemy knows and reference the written word. He shall give his angels charge over thee. When I give him place. Remember the damsel who had passed? I think it was Jairus' daughter. And Jesus was on his way to the house where she was sick. And it was the woman with the issue of blood who touched him in the crowd and delayed things. He was delayed so long that she passed by the time he got to the house. And when he got there, the funeral procession, the funeral mourners had already had already began their processes. They began to mourn over her, and they were playing the music and doing all the things that that day required of them to do over a deceased individual. And when Jesus came to the house, when he came inside, he said, get all these people out of here. Give place. Give me an opportunity here. You see, everything in that room was so filled up with a specific direction. That room became so packed with a specific order, and the order had been set by the individuals that were there. Hey, this is a funeral. This isn't a resurrection site. That Jesus had to take the first few words of scripture or the first few words recorded and say, get everybody out of here and give place to me. Give me an opportunity to change the course of direction of history. Right. And it's no different. When you think about this, he could have used all kinds of different means and methods. He was God. When he showed up to the shepherds, we'll stay in the Gospels. When he showed up to the shepherds to announce the birth, couldn't it have been in a booming voice? Couldn't he have written it in fire across the sky? I mean, let's be real here. He led his people around for years in the wilderness with a pillar of fire and a cloud. He could have manifested himself in any way that he chose to announce his birth, but he sent angels to wise men, to shepherds. He sent angels to Joseph to tell him not to be afraid. Sent angels to Mary. But Mary's words when the angel arrived were, be it according to your word. At some point, her life had displayed such character and such voluntary yielding of herself that there literally, the angels were given charge over her to be able to show up and say, thou art highly favored. I don't know if it was Peter or Paul was in prison and the chains, the angel of the Lord appeared and the chains fell off. You know how many ways he could have done that? But being let out of the prison. John 5, Pool of Bethesda. Prefacing Jesus' words and arrival there and communicating, the scripture says, I think it's in verse 1 or verse 2 of John 5, it says that there was this pool called Bethesda where there were maimed people and there were sick people and blind people, and they all gathered at this pool. And when a certain season was come, an angel would arrive at the pool and stir the water, and whoever was able to get into the water got their healing. Over and over and over again, you see this activity of angels in Scripture. In operation. And, I like to think, maybe I'm missing something. I like to think that I'm a person yielded to the Holy Ghost. I like to think that I'm a person who every day is yielding my life to the Lord, and I'm out of the way and letting God do whatever he wants to do, being led of the Spirit. But I got to tell you, there's something deep down inside of me that's looked at the scriptures and said, what am I missing? Am I not seeing them? Are they there and I'm not seeing them? I tell you what, I give money to every person at every stoplight as long as I got money in my pocket. I don't know who they are. I don't want to pass an angel by. I just don't know. I don't understand all the reasoning and all the things that he does in his word and why he does what he does. But I'm challenged by the psalmist and challenged again in Matthew 4. That he has the ability. He has the wherewithal to put angels in charge of me. To keep me, to lead me, to be with me everywhere that I go and everything that I'm involved in. I told my wife, I said, you know, on Friday, I hate being cheesy. You know, and you're always trying to find that border of, you know, is it God? Is it me? Is it God? Is it me? You probably heard about that massive accident on I-5 by Boeing Field on Friday morning. 15 cars, 14-mile backup on I-5. Every Friday morning, I leave my house. I go to Seattle. I have to be in Seattle by 7:30 a.m. It's the only day of the week I have to be in Seattle. And that morning I got up and usually I have to leave my house by 6 a.m. I have to be pulling out of the driveway by 6 a.m. to be in Seattle by 7:30. And some days I'm still late. And that day I pedaled around, I waited a little longer, decided to read the Bible, decided to make her coffee. So when she got up, there was fresh coffee. Then I got in the car and started driving. And I was almost to South Center when I heard, man, there's a massive pileup. Boeing Field, get off the freeway if you can, if you're not stuck in it, get off the freeway. And I did, and I made it to work, and everybody, I got there, everybody was like, oh, you made it. We were worried about you. We hadn't heard from you yet. Most everybody in my company lives on the South End. I'm not here to tell you, God told me don't get in your car and drive to Seattle today. He didn't tell me there's going to be an accident at Boeing Field on northbound I-5. He didn't tell me all those things. But I believe, based on what I've read, that he puts his angels in charge of me. When I yield myself to those little feelings, that little check, that silent voice, it's not the, Nick, shut the car off, go back inside, there's a wreck on I-5. No, it's the linger a little while longer with me this morning. Read another chapter. Fellowship me for just a little bit longer. God, it's already 6:15. I gotta go. I should have left 15 minutes ago. This is really off target, but I'm gonna say it. When I was going to Seattle every single day, I'd do that for 6 months. I would come to the church and pray every morning. That time I needed to leave here. I needed to leave the church by about 7:15. And there were days where I would get in my car and get down here. I'd get here by, 6:45 or so. I'd be running late. I'd begin to pray and I'd be watching. There used to be that clock on the back wall. I'd be watching that clock. I need to go. I need to go. I need to go. And I'd feel like I can't go yet. I feel like I'm supposed to spend more time with the Lord. You know, I was never late one time when I did that. I would get on if I was like, there was no traffic. I'd get to that reader board at just past 5. It'd be like 7:30 and I'd see this 28 minutes to Seattle. Whew. After the first few times it happened, I started to realize, when I will yield myself to him, he'll take care of all the details around me. You know, I'm all concerned about living by the clock. He doesn't know any time. Could he pick me up and transport me to Seattle if he wanted? Yes, he could. Does he? No, he doesn't. He makes me sit in traffic. But he has the ability to work things out for me. See, I get too caught up in the details. Well, Does it have to be? Or does he have the ability, when I'm yielded to him, to give his angels charge over me? If he could part the waters, if he could part a sea and let people walk across on dry land, is it so silly to think that he can't, A, protect me from an accident, B, clear traffic up so I could get to work on time? Now, there have been times, I'll be honest, I've overslept, and I've gotten in the car saying, oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus. Nothing happened. I was late. Was he any less God that day? No, but I start to recognize the application of Scripture to my life. Can we pray together right now? Some of you are becoming cognizant of situations and things that have transpired in your life where you know the Lord was at work. You know it was the Lord's hand. You've given him credit. In the moment you said, Lord, I know that you worked this out. I know that you have brought this about. But now, based on what you've heard over the last 20 minutes or so, you now know that he is truly at work in your life. Would you give him that credit right now? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. You are my keeper, Father. You are my keeper. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I put my confidence in you. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God. Did that prod your mind a little bit? Bring some things to your memory, recent situations? I think it's good to acknowledge them every time to the Lord. In humility. That was you that did that. Thank you. My wife and I had loaded the truck, was ready to go a couple of weeks ago, and head out the driveway at a certain time that we had said. And I got in and started the truck, and the oil pressure gauge went ding, opposite way. Boom. Sign came on. Check your gauges or something like that. Check my gauge. What's wrong with it? Shut it off, started again. Went up, drop. Probably not a wise thing to get in this thing and drive it over the pass. Call the garage, make an appointment. Oh, no, parts aren't in town. It'll take 2 hours to get the parts. All right, well, we got to do it. Honey, we're going to be delayed. How long? Not sure. A couple hours minimum. So I'll go run a few errands. Ran a couple errands. And all at once it came to me after talking to the mechanic. This is an electronic gauge. This is not reading the oil pressure because I would have heard it in the motor by now. I got peace. We're going. We'll get that next. The guy had already ordered the part. I thought, well, I got to go pay the guy for the part. But we'll call him back. We'll go get that later. I think it's okay. I'm ready to go. We're going. And so all it did was changed our schedule by an hour or so. But there was something that was just telling me, this is in my will. I don't want you on the road right now. And so we were delayed. We went, made our trip, came back, Do you know that gauge has not acted that way ever since? And if it was going out, it'd go out. And when I looked at it the other day, coming home, I thought, that was the hand of the Lord. Oh, the things that he protects us from. I can't even recall what it was. Something happened the other day. And I thought, all right, look around. What is this delay about? It's so easy for us to become frustrated with our schedules and things like this. I think the key is what Brother Johnstone hit on was as us releasing our lives to him and yielding wholly, amen, to him. I think I would like to read to you a couple of scriptures. Do you mind? In the book of John, chapter 15. I find that, you know, I make comparisons. When I listen to one of Brother Berglund's messages online, I'm out of town or something, or I'm not here, and I listen to it, and I think of, man, he must just have absolutely hours of research and study to have prepared to give that presentation and share that message. And I thought of myself and I'm thinking, I never get it that way. There's sometimes I really don't even have anything to say, I don't think, until the mic gave to me. And then I hope I said something when I put it down. And every once in a while I think, okay, this is going to be different this time. You know, I can count on my hand the times when this has happened. I can count on one hand the times this has happened. But my wife drove out of the driveway yesterday morning at 9:30. And she asked me, what are you going to do today? I said, oh, I'll probably go down to the shop. Oh, she said, you going to work for a change? I said, yeah, I thought that'd be a good idea. Until she drove out the driveway. And I felt the Lord say, why don't you stay right here with me and don't get up from that floor? Well, I went to the refrigerator a couple of times, ate an apple, went to the restroom. But other than that, it wasn't until she walked back in the door at 5:30 last night that I got off the floor. Just spending time with him, waiting. You'd have thought, giving yourself all day long, that I would just walk in here today with some hour-long dissertation. It just doesn't come that way for me. I'm not apologizing for it, but I thought I should at least explain a little bit. But I am drawn to this particular portion of Scripture, and if we just read it, that's fine with me. If we do more with it, then that's fine as well. I'm content to trust in him when he is ready to move. And in whatever fashion. Now, personally, I love to hear anybody talk about the manifestation of angels. Because I've had a few experiences in my life that I can say, yes. Chapter 15 of John. I am the true vine. And my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. I purposed yesterday to fellowship the Lord through the ministry of his Spirit. Let me tell you how I did that. Selectively, I did some searches to find ministry from particular individuals who I have met in my life and have a great confidence that when they open their mouth, usually spirit and word come out. I've met a lot of great people and a lot of wonderful Christians and Bible scholars. And they have shared wonderful truths with me. And a lot of my receiving from them is pretty much processing mentally. But there are some, when they open my mouth, it registers with my spirit immediately. One of those men was T.W. Barnes from Louisiana. He's passed away, I think, the last couple years. And I knew that just by turning it on and listening, it would not be, it would be effortless in that I would not have to process mentally everything he was trying to say, but the expression of God's Spirit through the ministry of a man, I could just literally lay on the floor and receive into my spirit everything that was being imparted from him. Now, I also selectively chose people who I observed to be pure in who they were. Pure of any self-serving motives, pure of wanting to, excite me with the chosen words that they could pick, and simply receive of them and minister and edify my spirit. I was just wanting more of God. Now, you might say, well, the Bible is filled with God's word, and you can't separate him from his word. Well, yes and no. Once you have experienced. Now, let me tell you where it began. When you were baptized with the Holy Ghost. When you became alive unto God. Now, if you haven't received the Holy Ghost, evidence with speaking with other tongues, then where you are is where I was when I simply cried out to the Lord, attending a Nazarene church where they opened the Bible and declared the word, and the word and its power and its conviction affected me and drew me. But with the teaching that I had received and with my understanding, I had never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I had only observed through the life of my grandmother that there was something there that she had, and she was so dedicated to and so committed to that I watched the rest of the family just attending religious church services. I don't know where you are here today. I know where most of you are here today. But when I spoke of earlier about that life-changing moment, it's God leading you in a place and you becoming receptive to that leading and accepting of him into your spirit that brings a transformation that is beyond The renewing of your mind. I believe in the renewing of my mind. That is a process over time. My mind's never been renewed in just a moment. Oh, I've changed my mind pretty quickly at times. But that's not the renewing of the processing of how I think or my perspective on things. That comes through the ingesting of the principles of the Word of God. But there is something that takes place in the spirit of a man that becomes definitive. If you're not there yet, I would encourage you to wait on the Lord and maybe even seek the Lord, knowing that there is something beyond receiving the understanding through my mind and processing that which I can with my limited human understanding, and receiving something into your spirit that absolutely changes you from that day forward. It's a process that doesn't just happen one time, but it does have a beginning. And according to the Word of God, I believe it to be when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That is the new birth experience. Let's pray. Let's worship the Lord. Maybe that's easier for you. Let's thank Him. I'm thankful to you. I'm inviting of you. I am hungry, absolutely, for all that you have for me. And I would not keep you at bay in any way, shape, or form in my life. Because without you, I can do nothing. I want to abide in you according to this word which we just read. I want you to abide in me according to this word that we just read. Because without you, I can do nothing. And there is no fruit produced of any value. Value in my life that comes only from my human effort or understanding. It's the abiding of God's Spirit in me. It's the abiding of God's Spirit in me. For somebody's benefit here, I'm going to reiterate a story which you've probably heard more than you'd like to. My wife and I were in New Jersey. My father had just died. We'd agreed to attend a church service on that Sunday. Simply opened the yellow pages to find an affiliated church, and we did. In Chesterfield. And with time to kill, I asked her at one point, what would you like to do? And she said, let's go to the Columbus flea market. You been to a flea market? Very spiritual place. Obviously a place where God would dwell. No. And so, for some reason, out in the middle of nowhere at a cross section, surrounded by cornfields, was the Columbus Flea Market. And so we drove out there with my brother's borrowed car. And when I got out of the car, an angel manifested itself to me. So you might ask, so what does that mean? Did you see something with wings pass by the window? Did an angel speak to you? What, when you say manifestation? Well, I'm only drawing from my experience at that point that physically, tangibly, as I opened the door, I felt the presence of an angel externally. When I received the gift of the Holy Ghost, that was God's presence internally. So I was not in a worship service in the van. We weren't, you know, there was nothing that was inviting to the presence of God to be made manifest tangibly. But I knew there was a manifestation that was angelic at that moment as I opened the door. I chose not to say anything to my wife about what I had just experienced. I simply, as we walked into the market, paid attention. Was drawn in just a few minutes of time to three individuals. And one of those, when we walked up behind them and they were looking at something, I simply made a comment and said, "That's a nice doll." And when I did, the woman turned around. Tears immediately run down her face. She took my hand and she put a business card in my hand. It was not an Amway card. It said United Pentecostal Church of Groveville, New Jersey. And so I'm 3,000 miles from home. I felt that angelic presence when I got out of the car. I tried to pay attention best I could. I was led and drawn to three women in a market filled with people. And now, where there's about a half a dozen churches in the entire state that are United Pentecostal churches, at a flea market in the middle of nowhere in a cornfield, a lady's crying simply when she turns around and hands me a card. She begins to say something to my wife, but it's not in English, and we don't know what she's saying. She's just trying to utter something, and she's weeping. And I'm thinking, what is going on here? Now, we talk about God's purpose in angelic manifestation in a New Testament church. I believe for the greatest part that it's at that point that we begin to ask God, why? What is this that's happening? This has not been the pattern of my life. This is something definitely new to me. Let me tell you something. I'm convinced. Without first having received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave to me the utterance, and then becoming a more alive unto God through praise and prayer and fellowship and abiding in Him, that moment would have passed by as a breath of wind when I opened the door. Amen. We went to this church. It was the lady's son who was the pastor and ministered there, and the Lord did some very interesting and wonderful things there. For those people, we simply participated as God led. I'm telling you, somebody in this room, God is so wanting to invade your life and permeate your very being. I'm going to pick on Bob here tonight, this morning. For a season of time, Bob was coming here with his wife. He just was not sure about all this. He still may not be sure about all this. And about once every 3 or 4 months, he'd say, I'm not coming back. I'm going. I'm leaving. But he'd show up next Sunday. There was something that he was struggling with and resisting against and not sure about what it all was, but still, at the same time, he was being drawn. He couldn't stay away. Every time he told me he wasn't coming back, he'd show up. And I'm thinking, Bob, I need to explain this to you. This, when you say this, that means no. And so we have loved Bob, and we have prayed for Bob. And together we have waited on the Lord for Bob. And I'll never forget, it was an evening service, I think. I don't even remember the details of it, but it seemed like the altar was open just for prayer, and the people just kind of was meandering and coming to prayer. And all of a sudden, there was a ruckus that broke loose back here. And it was Bob on the floor, said, "Oh God, oh God." Shaking and under the power of God and yielding. I think I just broke my tooth with the microphone. He yielded. And progressively, we have watched the drawing of God's Spirit upon his life. Man, I didn't know if you were going to make it. I mean, the calendar was working against you. How bad's my chip? Okay, maybe I broke the microphone. I wasn't sure if Bob was going to make it. I wasn't sure if he was going to give up before he yielded. But he yielded, and all of a sudden, all of that which he was holding back, keeping at bay, not sure about, he just became alive unto. Now when he goes on trips and journeys, he visits churches, United Pentecostal churches. He told me last week he had gone down to Louisiana, and he had gone to the Brother and Sister Mangan's church. There's a continual change that will take place from this point forward in Bob's life. It is a progressive walk and journey. Now, some individuals' progression seems to speed up. Man, I hit my mouth on the microphone. All of you are paying very close attention to me now. Many of you were starting to nod off. It had to have been God. You know, we said, "Use me, Lord."
Sure.
I don't know every individual life here, but I really feel from the Lord, and I feel a presence in this house. For his, according to his purpose and the things that Brother Johnstone spoke about here. Don't push him back. Don't keep him at bay. Open up completely. Completely to him. This tongues and interpretation, according to the scripture, was for an unbeliever. Now, I don't know what variable that is. I don't know if that means you don't believe in God at all, or there's just something in God's progression with you that he's trying to do with you. But that manifestation itself tells me there's somebody in the room that he is wanting to touch in a special way. Why don't you pray? Just pray.
Oh, mercy. Oh, mercy.
No, come on, there's others here today, right now. In the name of Jesus. Jesus' name. Jesus, I want to know you in this way, Lord. Come on, let that be the crying out of your soul. I want to know you in this way, Lord. Jesus' name. I trust you with everything, Lord. I trust you with everything, you Lord. Come on, let it gush out. Let it pour out. Quit resisting. Don't hold back. Yield. Move forward. Step into it.
Hallelujah. Come on, let it open up areas in your life that you have yet to experience in Him. In Him. In Him. In Him. We live and move and have our being in Him. In Him. Without Him, we can't do anything. Quit observing from such a distance. Step down into the water. I tell you, this is a sovereign moment here right now. When I laid hands on you, I reflected back to a moment. It was on a Wednesday night, and we were all sitting here. We were having Bible study. My daughter Kaylee comes breaking through that door and says, "Dad, they're all getting the Holy Ghost in my class." You remember that night? You were one of them. There was five or six up there. I don't know who they all were now. All with their hands in the air crying. God was filling them with the Holy Ghost. They were all just little kids. It was a sovereign move of His Spirit. He wants to do that for somebody here right now. I don't know what He plans to do in the rest of this day.